So I want to talk about our responsibility as believers tonight. Now, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about what things God has given us to be able to live a godly life. And we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1 to read about that. And in a minute, we're going to review these things in the first point that I'm going to give. But tonight, we're going to focus on, you know, since God has given us these things that help us or that enable us to live a godly life, what are we supposed to do with those things to do that which He has called us to do? So what is our responsibility as a believer? What are we going to talk about is how do we avoid wasting our lives? So open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to just read one verse to begin with, and then we'll read a longer section. But I want to look at verse 8. 2 Peter 1:8 says this: "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it says, there are certain things that if we have those things and they abound in us, then we shall not be unfruitful. Now the opposite is also true. If we do not have those things, then we will be unfruitful. In other words, we will waste our lives because it's our job to bear fruit. Amen. And so let's pray. I need God's help here. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Amen. And God, I pray that tonight you would speak to our hearts so that we will do our part, so we will abound in these character qualities and grow in them, Father. And I pray that you would fill me now with your Spirit. I pray you fill everyone here with your Spirit. Amen. And I pray that your Spirit would be in control. Yes. And I do ask for liberty as I teach this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So he says in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound," what are these things? Well, they are the seven character qualities that are listed in verses 5 through 7. So let's read that. 2 Peter 1:5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." So these are the things that he promised, that if they abound in, that they be in us and abound, they make us that we shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I have 4 points here. The first one is the motivation. Now, what should cause us to have these things abound in us? And for that, I have to review 2 weeks ago's lesson. Because in the beginning of verse 5, it says, "And beside this." Now, this is a really strange translation of the Greek. The Greek is actually very unusual. I looked through all of the New Testament trying to find that same combination of words, and I couldn't really find the exact same one. And so, but most commentators and most Bible translations translate this phrase, which is here translated, "and beside this," they translate it as "for this very reason." So, and I'm going to have to take their word for it, but there was a pretty good consensus among the commentators that we would normally turn to. And so let's take their word for it, and it makes sense when you look at it. So if he says, "for this very reason," he's talking about what he said before, which is verses 3 and 4. And that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. He says, "according as His divine power," that's verse 3, "hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so 2 weeks ago we said there was three things specifically that God has given us so that we can live a godly life out of this passage. First thing was the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the knowledge is talking about, first of all, what the Bible says about Him. But more than that, to know Jesus means to be related to Him. It means, you know, Jesus said to those people that came to Him, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful things in Your name? And done all this and that? And what did Jesus say? He says, depart from Me, He works of iniquity. I never knew you. So they didn't know Him, He didn't know them, because they didn't have that relationship. So that's the first thing He gave us, is His knowledge, that we know Him, that we are saved, in other words. Then He has given us, it says here, great and precious promises. That's the promises from the Bible. That's, besides the knowledge that He's given us about Him, and the relationship we have with Him, we have great and precious promises. So whenever we are in any need, there is a promise for every situation that we can turn to and rely upon and use it to live a godly life or to make a godly decision. Amen. And then finally, he says that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That means we are free from having to sin. Whenever there is a temptation for us to sin, we have escaped the corruption. We do not have to do it. We are free. The bond is cut. The tie is cut. The chain is broken. And we do not have to sin. So that's the third thing that He has given us. So we don't have to sin. And we can live a godly life. Okay, so that's the review of 2 weeks ago. And when we live godly, then the Lord is glorified. John 15:8 says, herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So that is that when we live godly lives, in other words, God is glorified. And that is our purpose. So that's our motivation right there. God's purpose is fulfilled. So that's point number one, motivation for living a godly life, for having these character qualities in us. Number two, effort. So if you look at verse 5 again, it says, beside this, or for this very reason, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Now, this is a very extreme, very total statement. Diligence is talking about effort. Amen. It's talking about, it's work. It's not something that happens automatically. It requires a lot of work. So we admire effort. Remember 2 weeks ago I showed you the picture of the climber that climbed El Capitan without a rope? It took him years to prepare for this. He said he memorized every step and every hand position. He memorized them so he would make sure he wouldn't fall. It makes sense because he didn't want to fall. But it was and we admire that. He's in the news. He was on primetime TV interviewed because people admire this kind of thing. Or think of Wilma Rudolph. Who remembers Wilma Rudolph? Wilma Rudolph was a runner, a short distance runner, and she won the Olympics. She won several medals in the 1960 Olympics in Rome. But few people know that when she was little, she contracted polio. And the doctor told her she would never be able to walk without a brace. Well, her mother said, no, you can do whatever you want to do. And she decided, she said, I decided to believe my mother, not the doctor.
Amen.
And so she trained and she became a basketball star. And then she became a track star. And we look at that and we go, wow, that's great. Well, another one more. Have you heard of Kyle Maynard? Anybody has heard of Kyle Maynard? You have, okay. He actually was a student at UGA, and what's unique about him is that he has no arms and no legs. But at the same time, he, in college, he was a wrestling champion. And we're not talking about special champions. What do you call it? Special Olympics kind of champion. No, he wrestled able-bodied competitors. So, and he also climbed Mount Kilimanjaro without help. So, and now he has a gym in I think in Duluth that's called No Excuses. That's pretty good. Well, that talks about effort. We admire that, but why is it that we are, when it comes to the greatest thing of all, namely living the godly life, that we are so unwilling to put in what it takes to actually do that? We're so easily sidetracked, so easily dissuaded of putting in the effort that it takes to live a godly life. But anyway, Paul says here, no, not Paul, Peter. Peter says we need to put in the effort, giving all diligence to add to our faith virtue and then add these other character qualities. So these character qualities, to attain those character qualities, it is worth our utmost effort. You know, we put our effort into work, we put our effort into hobbies and into all kinds of things. Why is it so hard to put all our effort into acquiring these godly character qualities? So it says here to add these character qualities. The word that's used for adding is to supply. And it's a funny word because what it originally meant was that some rich Athenian would pay for the expenses of the chorus when an acting troupe came to town. And so this was something that rich person would supply and give to make sure they have all that they needed to perform. So it's something that rich person gave from their own possessions. So supplying here is something that we do. It's not something God does. We do that. He says he gives us the command, add to your faith virtue and these other character qualities. So we can't sit around and wait for God to say, make me more knowledgeable without actually going and reading the Bible and doing the things that it takes. All right, so that's number two, the effort that it takes. Okay, got 7 minutes left. Number three. Those are the character qualities. The qualities. Number three. Let's go through them one by one. I'm not going to, of course, in 6 minutes, not going to. We went to the Wilds one time to a couples conference, and the whole couples conference was on these seven character qualities. We're not going to do that. But anyway, so here's the first one. Add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Now, I'm probably going to spend most of the time on this one. So virtue is a word that only occurs, I think, three times in the New Testament. And it's kind of a classical Greek word, which means moral excellence. Or whatever you do it to the best of your ability. Excellence. Now, if you have a knife, for example, an excellent knife needs to be sharp. It needs to be really sharp. Otherwise, it's not an excellent, otherwise it's just an okay knife. But that's also something that we admire. We admire people that are good at what they do. Sure. Even if they are jerks, we still say, well, he's a jerk, but he's really good at what he does. And we respect that. We put a lot of emphasis on it, a lot of value in it. So let's do the best at what we do. And that includes all of these character qualities. We should put our best effort forward. And the best example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he said this, John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So Jesus had a purpose for which he came, and he fulfilled that purpose absolutely to perfection. That's the example that we have. So he gave his very best. And that's what we should do. He said, I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. All right. So, secondly, add to your faith virtue, add unto virtue knowledge. Of course, how do we add knowledge? Well, we need to read the Bible. That's the knowledge we need. We need the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of God. And how do we know God? Through the Bible. There's no other way to know God but through the Bible. And so, it's our job, it's our responsibility to actually read the Bible, to memorize it, to meditate on it. That's our job. That's not something that God just miraculously puts into us and we just sit there. We have to make the effort. And we have to give it our best effort. That's virtue. Okay, and then knowledge. And then temperance. Temperance is just simply self-control. When there's a temptation, you say no. That's very simple. So maybe food or sleep or lust or the desire to say something hurtful. Self-control means that we don't do it and we say no. That's self-control. And it's something that we have to decide to do on our own, in our own will. We have to make that decision. Now, I'm not saying that God leaves us all alone to do these things. God, of course, is the one that gives the strength and the power to do all these things. But it requires our decision to actually do them. All right. Then patience is endurance under difficult circumstances. Now that we don't complain all the time about when something goes wrong. And we don't faint when things get hard. It's our decision. Godliness. Godliness is basically an awareness of God, a fear of God, that I realize that God is in every decision I make, God wants to be in that decision. Like Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That we acknowledge him in everything we do, that we involve him in all of our decisions, that is godliness. And then brotherly kindness. So brotherly kindness, I would say, is treating family members with care and respect. And family includes the church family.
Amen.
So we need to be nice to one another. That's brotherly kindness.
Amen.
And then charity, of course. Charity is defined by John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that the love, the charity that God had for us, moved him to give sacrificially. To give really everything. To give himself, to give his life. And that's what charity means. So it's a sacrificial giving of ourselves. So those are those seven character qualities. And we ought to put all of our heart, all of our effort into acquiring these things. Finally, the fourth point is that we grow in these things. Because you might hear this and say, well, this is totally overwhelming. Who can be like this? Well, but listen to verse 8 again. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the condition? These things have to be in us. Okay. So if I look around here, I'm convinced that you all, that some degree of these character qualities is in each one of you. In every one of you. You have a degree of those character qualities. So you already fulfill the first condition, that they are in you. That is, if you're saved. If you're not saved, then then that's not the case. But then the second condition is that if these be in you and abound. Now that word abound has the idea of increasing, getting bigger, getting more. So, what God asks of us is not that we are perfect in all seven of these character qualities. But what He's asking of us is that we grow in these character qualities. And, you know, that's a much lower bar than to have them all in perfection. Nobody does. And so, the youngest believer has to grow, but the oldest believer also has to grow. So this is for all of us. We all have to grow. Oh man, I'm 21 minutes, but I'm almost done. Do I get a little? Did I? No, 21 is
okay.
Is past.
No, go ahead.
Do I get a few more minutes? Okay.
20 more minutes.
I'm halfway done with the last point. Okay, so we're almost there. Okay. So if we are growing in these areas, then we have the promise that we will bear fruit and we will make a difference. And then, when we're finished, we can say like Paul, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And don't you want to be able to say that at the end of your life? Is anybody here that would say, well, I'd rather waste my life? I don't think so. We all want to get to that point where we say, I've done what I'm supposed to do. And to know that is worth giving our all. But now you might say, okay, this is Paul, and he was this great missionary, the greatest missionary that ever lived. So what about me? I'm not like Paul. Well, the Bible says, where is it? Yeah, he goes on in verse 8. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So that crown of righteousness is not just for Paul, but it's for all them that love his appearing. Now, what does it mean to love his appearing? Loving his appearing means to focus on him. If I love his appearing, that means I'm thinking about him coming back. If I think about him coming back, then that means I'm concerned about what he's thinking about me when he's coming back. Well, how he will find me when he's coming back. And if we do that, that means we focus on him. And that means that we will grow in these seven areas. And so really, all he wants us to do is to focus on him. Turn our eyes upon him. And he will do the rest. But we have to put in our part. So let's make sure that we won't allow Satan to deceive us so that we stop growing. But that happens to some people, some believers. Something happens. They get offended. And then they fall away and they're out. And it's they've been deceived. They have been deceived. And they stop growing. And Satan is able to rob them of their fruit and of their crown. And I just pray that that would not be the case with us. So let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the end from the beginning. Lord, that you would give us that eyesight, that you would open our eyes to see what's important and to put all our effort into growing in these areas, Father. And we thank you for what you're going to do in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.